So we had you start working on this sheet, and this, like I said, this Sunday is going to be totally different than most weeks. We're going to do actually some crowd interaction. We're going to get you involved in dialogue, and so please don't go like weird on us because we are recording everything, just so you know. But we're going to get you involved in conversing, like a conversation with me, but with the group on a couple things as we go this morning. We're just going to talk about what it looks like to be intentional. That's going to be the big word this summer. And so just kind of getting the ball rolling on this, let's hear from you. What are some things that you put on your list? Throw them out. All right, y'all all wrote, okay. Kitchen remodel. Woo! That's it. Oh, yeah. Does Dave know about that?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. This is why. So that was a have to. All right. Somebody else. What'd you end up with on your list?
Survive.
Okay. That's a good one on the list. What else? I like that one.
Get my yard looking good.
Get your yard looking good. That's fantastic. One or two more. Come on.
Charleston.
We're going to go to Charleston. That's right. We're doing that today, right? All right. Cool. What was that in the back?
Visit relatives.
Awesome. Now, did everybody at least get 3 or 4 or 8 or 10 or 25 things on your list? Come on, let's be honest. You should have like 25 things on your list. Here's what we want you to do, all right? What we want you to do is we want you to eliminate half of them by putting a check mark. So we're going to have a little honest time here. Let's eliminate half of them because we know that everything we had on our list, we're not really going to get to. So if you ended up with 10 things, you're going to check 5. If you ended up with 20 things, you're checking 10. But eliminate half the things that are on your list with a check mark, all right? Do that real quick. So you got to look through your list and have a few priorities here, but eliminate half of your list with a check mark. Right. All right, now we're going to be real honest again. Half it again, all right? Take off everything, take your checklist and just check half. And then star whatever's left, okay? So cut it in half, then star whatever's left. I don't know about you, but if you're like my family, what you're going to end up with is that's about what you're probably going to get done. And if you had 20 things on your list, that's actually too much. Now, if you only had one thing on your list, you need to get out more. We need to get you some social interaction, get you in a community group, get you some friends. That kind of stuff might be helpful, okay? Hopefully that list is down around 3 or 4 or 5 big things, okay? We're going to talk about those things and just kind of interact with this. There is a passage in the New Testament where this guy named Paul, who is a key player in the Bible story. He comes after Jesus, and so Christ has died and risen again, and Paul is found Jesus in a miraculous way and becomes this major person who goes all over the known world preaching the gospel, planting churches. He was, like, his whole life is defined by being a person who is on mission. And multiple times in his life, he literally left everything to go all over the Roman Empire. And he would go into cities and he would preach the gospel. He would go both to the Jewish people or the religious type people and share the gospel with them. And then he would go into the marketplace, to the secular world, people who were far from God and didn't even know about the one true God of the Bible. And he would preach the gospel there. In both places, people would hear the message of Jesus, respond by repenting and trusting in Jesus, give their lives to Christ. And then he would plant a church or start a new church in that town with those people. And one of the places he went was a city called Corinth, which is it's a crazy, crazy city. It would be like the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, which are two letters that Paul wrote. We're going to look at one of these briefly here in a minute. The city of Corinth would be like planting a church on right on Bourbon Street in New Orleans today. The city was a broken city full of all kinds of just weird sexual stuff, craziness. It was a sailor city. It was a seaport. So they had sailors coming in all the time. And we know that sailors, when they get off the boat, the first thing they go look for is the local church. Right? I mean, this is the type of city it is. And it's just known, like all over the Roman Empire, it is known as the city that is just a mess. And Paul goes and preaches the gospel, and people give their lives to Jesus, and they're coming out of this lifestyle. And I actually have a real good friend. I was part of a church plant assessment team for a guy who planted on Bourbon Street. And his church is full of former prostitutes, former pimps, former drug dealers. I mean, people who came out of the nightlife in that city. And, you know, he deals with some of the problems 1 Corinthians deals with. But in this, Paul's talking about his mission, and he's talking about the importance for us to really understand the gospel and what it does in our lives. And he's talking about his mission and what the gospel should accomplish as we look at the things we do in our lives. So if you have a Bible, grab it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read verses 11 through 15 in that. In your rows, we have Bibles for you. If you don't have a Bible, you can grab one. We're going to look up two verses or two passages this morning real quick and talk about those. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 10 here. So if you have your app, find that. I think I forgot to give them the pages, so if you find that, shout out a page number in the Bible we have for us. Page 816 in that Bible, so find page 816 in that Bible and just read along with us as we see what he says here. Chapter 3, verse 10, he says, "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it." So here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, when I came to you and I preached the gospel and I was living on mission, I was laying a foundation, or I was building on a foundation that was already laid. Other people are going to do the same. They're going to work, but let's make sure that we're careful about the foundation. For, verse 11, "No one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now, let me just deal with this real quick so you understand what he's saying here. He's saying, listen, there's only one foundation that's worth building on. We can build our lives on a lot of things. We can build our lives on sports. We can build our lives on our career. We can build our lives on our family. We can build our lives on a lot of things. And all those things ultimately will crumble. We were made by God for the glory of God to experience and know God. And the only way that is possible is because of the grace of God displayed in the person of Christ, who came and lived the life I should have lived. He died the death I should have died in my place for my sins. 3 days later, he rose again, defeating death, hell, and the grave forever. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, if you lay any other foundation for your life, it is not going to work. The only foundation you can build on is the foundation of Christ. How does this happen? It happens when we hear the gospel, when we understand what Christ has done for us, and we bow our knees and give our lives to Christ. It means that our salvation is wrapped up in this, that if you're here this morning and you know Jesus, at the very core, what you have started to do is to lay the foundation of your life of Christ. But it also means continuing in that, growing in that, developing that, becoming a deeper follower of Christ, making sure that the foundation of our life, that what our life is built on, what our church is built on, what our summer is built on, is the foundation that has already been laid, and that foundation needs to be Christ. So the first big question for us this morning is this: what is the foundation of your life? Is your life built on the good news of Jesus, or are you building the foundation of your life? Is the core of your life being built on something totally different? If you're here this morning and your story is that, you know, I've been spiritual, I grew up religious, but I just don't quite get that, and I'm just kind of seeking and searching, let me just challenge you that the best thing that can happen for you this morning is for you to come to Jesus and trust in him and lay the only foundation that will work. If you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus and your story is that, man, I follow Jesus, but I'm drifting, I'm struggling, what's happening is you're starting to build wings of your house on something other than Christ. Let's get that foundation back. Let's come back and make sure that we are really right with Jesus, that we're believing the gospel, that we have known that our identity is in who Jesus is and not in what we accomplish or anything else. And maybe one of the best things that could happen to the beginning of summer, aside from all of our lists, is just to go, man, I need to start afresh with Jesus. Make sure that my life is really built on a right foundation. So that's what Paul's saying. He said, listen, there's no foundation that can be laid other than Christ. But then look at what he says. He says, "Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest for," and here's the big phrase, "the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself be saved, but only as through fire. Now here's what he's saying. He's saying, okay, there's only one foundation. Let's make sure we're building on that foundation. But then what do we build on top of that foundation? And he says, there are some materials that are used that are gold, silver, precious stones. They're beautiful materials. They're things that a fire will make more beautiful as they refine. There are other materials that are wood, hay, and straw. And if you build on with gold and silver and precious stones, one thing's going to happen. If you build with wood, hay, and straw, those things are burnable. And here's what he's saying. He said, here's the picture, the image you got to see. Here is a person who has laid the foundation of Christ. But now their life is building on that foundation. And they're putting stuff on this. And maybe some of the stuff they put on is gold, silver, precious stones. Some of the stuff is wood, hay, and straw. And they're building. But then the day. And anytime the Bible uses this idea of the day, it means the last day. The day of Christ's return, the final judgment, all those sorts of the things. The day will reveal it because your works will be revealed by fire. And here's the central point. If your works, if what you've built on the foundation of Christ is gold, silver, precious stones, whatever is beautiful is refined. It's made more beautiful. It passes through the fire more beautiful than it started. But what if you built, if the things you built on the foundation that was Christ were wood, hay, and stubble, those things just get burned up and destroyed. And here's the picture he ends with. He says that there are some people who will build on the foundation of Christ. In other words, they have trusted Christ. They really do know Jesus. But everything they've built on top of that foundation is wood, straw, hay. And then the day reveals it. And this is the picture. Here's a guy who shows up into the eternal state. He literally lands in the new heaven and the earth. He walks through the judgment. And he comes out with nothing. Nothing that comes with him. And literally, he's like a guy who even his clothes smell like the smoke of the fire. There are going to be other people who walk through this, and there are a lot of things that are going to be made more beautiful, refined, that are brought with them, right? That's the picture that's being painted here, okay? And so the things that are eternal, we could have a long discussion about this, but just think about what's going on. What are the things that he's talking about that get refined? Well, obviously, things like your own discipleship. If you're a follower of Jesus, what it looks like for you to grow in your walk with Jesus. Knowing and spending time in the scriptures and hearing the voice of God through the scriptures, the time you spend on your knees crying out to God. What happens in your community of faith? The idea of being part of the church, more than just attending the church, but being part of a community of faith and developing that community is precious stones. It's gold, it's silver. Investing in your kids, the gospel in your children, and raising them up to love Jesus, that is an eternal thing. And what we do on mission, as we go and live for the betterment of the world, live for the betterment of the culture, share the gospel, reach in the lives of people, do justice, these are things that are eternal. And what happens is, yes, I'm flawed, I'm broken. So like I go to Charleston this week, I will make mistakes, I'm not a perfect thing. What's going to happen though is that as I go live on mission and do the things that are gold, hay, you know, stubble, it's going to get burned up. But if I go do things and invest my life in things that are gold and precious stones, as I move through that, the imperfection that is me mixing in with that is going to be burned out, and it's going to come through into the heavenlies more beautiful than I could ever imagine it here. In other words, let's just picture this. You're on mission this summer, and you develop a relationship with a neighbor. And that relationship with a neighbor, over a period of time, you're praying for that neighbor, you're working that neighbor's life, all that sort of things are going on in your neighbor's life. And for 2 or 3 years, you're just hanging out, doing barbecues, just talking to people. But then 2 or 3 years, all of a sudden, that neighbor shows up at church one Sunday. And then in the conversation church, they start coming. Eventually, you get to have a conversation with that friend, that neighbor, that person you've got to know. And eventually, that conversation leads to that person coming to faith in Jesus. You take that mission, that effort, what you've invested with you. Now, here's the bait and switch. We planned this. I'm sorry. With what's left on your checklist, how much of that is wood, hay, and stubble? Drop your eyes down and look at it real quick. How much of that, when D-Day comes, is just going to burn? And how much is coming forward with you? That's going to be refined and beautified. This is what I firmly believe. That God has called us to live our lives for things that are bigger than just stuff. Now, that doesn't mean the stuff doesn't matter. We do life. I'm not saying you just throw away the list, start over, But we, if you are a follower of Jesus, God has called you to live for things that matter and to invest your life in things that are more eternal. And that includes the idea of living on mission, of doing things where you were making a difference in issues of justice, you were making a difference in the lives of people, you were building relationships and praying over people, you were developing a relationship with the people that are your community of faith. And we live in Eureka, okay? And I know most of us, if we're adults, our jobs go on. But the truth of the matter is the rhythms of life, because we are such a kid family area, the rhythms of life in Eureka change once school gets out. And what this means is, in your front yard, there are a lot more people walking up and down the sidewalk, taking walks and hanging out at neighborhood parks and doing other things. During the school year, not so much. You know, you can go by, and you know, if you go by a park in at the middle of May on a Thursday afternoon, the only people who are going to be there are moms with toddlers who are, you know, staying at home with their kids and investing in the lives of their kids. But, you know, anybody else whose kids are at school or who has jobs or that, nobody's there. What happens now is you go on a Thursday afternoon to any of our city parks now, and it's going to be packed with people. Your neighborhood's going to be filled and with people, and there's going to be all kinds of different things going on in our city, in the world around us, that are opportunities for us to see this and to be intentionally connected and involved in developing relationships, making a difference in the lives of people, sharing the gospel, loving people, those sorts of things. And we just, I really believe that summer is a perfect time to leverage the mission, to literally make sure that we will be intentional about, you know, prioritizing some things in our summer that are building on this foundation with something other than wood, hay, and straw. So as Jesus is ending his time here, he's like died and risen again. And for 40 days, he hung out with his closest followers. About 120 people hung out with Jesus. Paul tells us over 500 people saw Jesus alive at some point in time. But Jesus is investing in them, and he's got this central group that are 12 disciples, 12 apostles, and he's spending time with them. And on the very last day, he's going to be on earth. In other words, there's going to be a point in time in the story where 40 days after he dies and rises again, Jesus literally ascends into heaven. And he leaves them with a promise, and the promise is that he is going to send the Holy Spirit, that God is present in the person of Jesus in the lives of these people, but Jesus is going to return and sit on the eternal throne and be the eternal king, but God is going to send his Spirit, who will no longer just be beside them. The Holy Spirit will fill them, be in them. And so, real quick, flip over to Acts 1:8. I want you to see this passage and just hear the challenge this morning. Acts 1:8. And when somebody gets their bark out the page number of that for us. 778. Acts chapter 1. And the writer is a guy named Luke, and this is what he says in the first book, verse 1. First book, O Theophilus, that's a guy's name. I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. That's the gospel of Luke. In other words, he's saying to this guy, I already wrote you the story of Jesus. Until the day when he was taken up after he had had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. In other words, this is what he's saying. He's saying there was a 40-day gap where Jesus hung out and kept telling them, now that I'm alive, let me explain everything else that I ever said. Let me explain God's purpose and mission. And he gave them proofs. For example, he said, touch me, feel my hands, feel my side. He ate fish with them. He gave them many proofs that he was a resurrected Jesus, a person who was dead, who is now alive. And while staying with them, verse 4, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. 4, John baptized with water. Now, John the Baptist had been baptizing people with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will at this time you restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so Jesus is literally saying to them, listen, now that I've died and rose again, I have a mission. There's a foundation. The foundation of Christ has been laid. Let's get to building. And what he says is, as you do this mission, there are three you wills in this passage. Three things that are going to be true of all of us if we are trusting in Christ. Now, here's what happens to us. These things are true of a lot of us, but over a year, like the whole school year, we drift. We're not hanging out in community. We're not reading our Bible. We're not really active in church. And all of a sudden, there's a coldness. We don't feel the connection with God. We don't feel the depth and the beauty of the Holy Spirit. We don't feel connected to the mission of God, and we've drifted. And I'm just saying, this is a good morning to say, all right, I'm re-engaging. I'm getting back. I want to experience the Spirit. And this is what he says. He says, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power, and you will be my witnesses. Now listen, this is what he's saying to his apostles. He's saying, here's the deal. Time to build. Let me explain what's going to happen to you as you build with the right stuff. First of all, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the idea of being totally immersed. Like the presence of God is so real in our lives that it's just like being baptized. I mean, think of when we've gone and done a baptism. I mean, it's not like throw a little water on top of their head. We put them all the way under. And if they're like really bad people, we hold them there for a really long time so we get it all washed off, right? No, we don't do that really. That's a joke, okay? Some of you are like, really? Is anybody drowned? No, we don't do that really. That's just a joke. But there's an immersion. He says, listen, just like people get baptized, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There will be this immersion, this closeness. Listen, sometimes in our lives we feel like the Holy Spirit is just a distant idea. And what Jesus is saying is, as we figure out what it looks like to build on the right foundation, we're moving in the right direction here, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of us are just like longing for something. We've drifted. We're so distant right now. And he says, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit and you will receive power. That as God has called me to witness and to be on mission, there is always in the Holy Spirit power to do things that I couldn't ever do on my own. And you will be my witnesses. Not you should be, you might be. What he's saying to his church is, you will be the ones who testify of me. Now, we testify of Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are testifying of Jesus one way or the other every day you go out in the world. When you know, I'm honking my horn and yelling at somebody in Eureka, you know, this is why I don't put Christian bumper stickers on my car, I'm going to be honest with you, okay? I got a Genesis sticker, and like every time I do that, I'm like, oh, I hope nobody saw it, like behind me is watching, you know? Because there is a sense in which what we're doing, the way we are living our lives and what we're saying and what we value is giving testimony what's most important. And if we're followers of Jesus and it's not Jesus, it shows. But you will be witnesses. And he says something very interesting. This is what we're going to focus on in just a few minutes. He says, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, if you're a student of the scriptures, you'll understand that I just gave you the outline of this whole book of Acts. I'm not going to chase that rabbit too far, but there is a mission of God that starts in a core city, moves to a region, then moves, crosses culture barriers, and goes eventually to the ends of the earth. And that part of the mission is still going on. But what I want to do is I want to focus on what that looks like for us. You will be filled with the Spirit. You will receive power, and you will be my witnesses. And he says, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends the earth. So I want to put this in your terms. Jerusalem was their town, okay? It's where they lived. And so for us, Jerusalem is kind of where you live. It's kind of the relationships that you have with people right around you. I was listening to a conference the other day on, you know, a podcast of a conference, and a guy asked, you know, how do we start this mission? And they were debating this guy over certain things about philosophy of how to do mission. And he just, in the middle of the thing, just asked the guy, how many neighbors do you know? And the guy who was quoting big books and famous writers kind of paused and went, I don't really know my neighbors. And he said, then dude, I win the argument. We're done. I mean, you can have great theology. If you don't know people around you, you're not developing relationships with people. Great theology doesn't do anything if it doesn't send you on mission. That's what the text is saying to us. And, you know, where you live, the people right around you is kind of like your Jerusalem. Judea was like the region. So in the story of Acts, it's more like the region around Jerusalem. It's kind of like your county or your state. But I also think it refers to the broader purpose of reaching into areas of like things like your vocation, what you do for your job, your play, your recreation. Places that you personally, with your gifts and passions, can make a difference in the lives of people in the world that are hurting and broken, so the issue of restoration. So that would be Judea. And then Samaria, specifically, the Samaritans and Jews hated each other, and the issue here is that the gospel crosses a cultural line, and that Christians now go to build relationships and make a difference in the lives of people that nobody else wanted to, nobody else liked, that they despised each other. And now the gospel sends people who are following Jesus to intentionally engage people who are different. This is part of why we go to Charleston, folks. Those of you who don't know what we're talking about, we're going to Charleston, Missouri this afternoon, and we're going to a place where there is nothing like this culture there. I mean, everything about the culture where we're going, it's poor, it's African-American, it's projects, it's broken. And one of the reasons we strategically chose a place like Charleston is because we believe that it is vital for us to get out of our West County white bubble and intentionally engage people that are culturally different and understand that the gospel, the kingdom of God, is a multi-ethnic, multi-generational, diverse kingdom. And so we're intentionally going. But there's other things that we can talk about with Samaria. And then the last fear is the ends of the earth. The gospel, the whole gospel through the whole world, whole church for the whole world. That the goal of the mission is that people from every tribe, every people, every language would hear the gospel and believe. And let me put these two passages together. It's summertime. We got a list, right? How much on your list has anything to do with building on your foundation anything that's not wood, hay, or straw? And what we want to do is we want to challenge you right now to begin thinking, what would it look like to keep the big things on the list, but make sure that we also add a few things to our list and find some intentionality to this? So we literally put it on the calendar, we start making plans to engage our world in mission. For those of you going to Charleston, you're not off the hook, okay? Yes, that's one thing, but let's think through this. And those of you who aren't, this is just going to be a call to do this. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to come back out here in a few minutes, and we're going to have this group interaction time. We're going to talk about ideas. We're going to get like down to really practical. Some of us, it may just be the call to walk across the street and meet our neighbors, take them a meal. Some of us, it may be a call to do something crazy. As I close this section of service, I want to show you an example of a teenage girl who began to wrestle with the idea of building her life on the foundation of Christ with something that matters. Now, hear this clearly. Not everybody is going to be called like she is. Some of us are going to be called to live this out in Eureka or elsewhere. But hear the sense of her call and the difference. This is from a book that my daughter read recently called Kisses from Katie. It's the introduction of a book about a teenage girl who went on a short-term mission trip that absolutely changed her life and reoriented the call of her life. Hear the call and just think through what that list ought to look like for the summer. And then we're going to sing a song, and then I'm going to come back out here and we're going to do something that's really interactive, right? So watch the screen. All right, grab a seat. All right, so we gave you the template for what we're about to do. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. In other words, where you live, your Judea, your vocation, your recreation, and places you can make a difference, restoration, places you can do justice, Samaria, crossing cultural boundaries, going to people that you normally wouldn't go to, and to types of people or that sort of thing. And then ends of the earth, the idea of us being part of the gospel everywhere. Now, here's the big idea. We're giving you a second sheet. So you're getting a bunch of stuff to take home today, right? A second sheet of paper that actually has this, that you are here thing. And then these spheres of influence that you might have in terms of the gospel going. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to help with each area, but what I want to do in each of these areas is hold a little bit of a discussion, a dialogue. So you're going to have to think through this of just practical ideas that you have seen done, that you have done, that you just come up and it pops in your head you might do for each of these areas. So each area, I'll give you a couple ideas, and then I'd like to open it up and hear this. And here's the idea. You will end up having three lines in each of those spheres. Of the ideas that are thrown around, pick three from each sphere. And then on the first sheet we gave you a calendar with your summer thing. As you end up with 12 ideas, you now have a resource to go home and be intentional this week to pick a couple of those and add them to your list and put them on a calendar. You get the idea? That's what we hope will happen today. Okay, so let's start talking about where you live, your Jerusalem, the area right around you. Let me give you a couple ideas that you might try. What would happen if you just decided that you were going to make like a postcard, a really cool postcard? You spend a little money and go to Vistaprints and, you know, print it up and it's glossy and it's cool looking. And it said something to the effect of, hey, we're your neighbors and we're thinking of you. And is there any way we could pray for you? We'd love to hear from that with like an email or a phone number. And then bake like cookies or something and just take that to neighbors. With something that just says, we'd love to pray for you. If there's any way we can pray for you, let us know. Or what about just taking walks with a purpose? This is a huge thing in Eureka, that if you decided, not, you understand, most of us want to get in our house, close our garage, and go to the deck. But what would it look like for us, instead of doing that, to intentionally live life in our front yard, and then to actually take walks in our neighborhood? Maybe you grab a big, giant thing full of dog biscuits for the summer. And every time you take a walk, you're giving every dog in every yard a dog biscuit. And people notice you and they're like, hey, and it's just a reason to stop and have a conversation. Or what if on the walk you were doing things like you walk to your neighborhood park, but you pull a wagon that's full of bottled waters and you just give water to everybody in the park? Or what if in the walk you intentionally, or you grab a trash bag and like as you're taking a walk, you're throwing trash away. And you know, you see trash, you're stopping, you know. But the idea is not just taking a walk. Do something with the walk that causes you to stop and then hopefully to start having conversations with people who are also in their front yard. What if you hosted a barbecue? Just picked a night and said, we're going to host a barbecue, but we're intentionally going to do the barbecue, hold the barbecue, to get to know four neighbors and invite them to come enjoy a meal. And just invite them to your house and just get to know them. And then the idea is that as you do this, use these prompters to get to know people's names. So like I would encourage you, whatever you're doing, that you've got a little notebook stashed, and every time you meet a neighbor, because I need this, I don't remember anybody's name. Some of y'all have been here for 10 years, I still don't know your name, okay? You're writing names and addresses down in this little notebook that is kind of hidden so people don't see it, and then after they leave, you're like, all right, that's Joe and Susan, and they live at 857, you know, I mean, that kind of deal. And it just helps you to know how to have real names and people and houses to pray over and that kind of stuff. Now, there's a few ideas I'm throwing out. What are some ideas that you guys might have for things that you could do just in your neighborhood, right where you live, the people right around you, that would be just ways to build relationship, pray for people, do mission in your neighborhood? Yes, Norma.
I just heard that my neighbor had a baby, so I was thinking about buying a little gift and walking over and just giving it to her.
That's awesome. So they had a baby, and all of a sudden you're driving down and you see balloons hanging from a mailbox, right? Ah, so you intentionally go buy, you know, a little gift with a congratulations card, and that's cool. Awesome. Good idea. All right. Yes. All right, cool. Good idea. The secret neighbor, you know, just doing something like that that's just nice. If you want to be my secret neighbor, bring sport tickets or something like that. All right, what else? Yeah.
One would be neighbors' houses are selling, And so when the house has a for sale sign and then you see that for sale sign disappear, you could go introduce yourself and, you know, bring them a basket of cookies or bring them something.
How cool would it be to, yeah, show up with a basket of cookies, maybe a gift card to a Eureka restaurant if you want to go really overboard and, you know, buy, you know, say go to El Nopal or something that's a Eureka flavor. But just welcome, you know, something that just says, hey, you're new to the neighborhood. I'm Kurt, and I live right up the street from you, and we're glad you're here. And just get to know new neighbors who move in a neighborhood. All right? That's awesome. What else? Yeah.
Push your neighbor snow.
Now, if that happens in the summer, that's going to be amazing. But yeah, that's a great thing. Or, you know, find ways to serve, you know, people who live next to you, just to help them, and just, you know, just like show up and do it. Just, you know, help them with lawn work or something like that. Yes.
I'm curious. Super summer, when I walk the dog, spray all the kids.
She carries a super soaker so that when she walks the dog, she can spray all the kids. That is mission. That is annoying people for the glory of God, right? Amen. Awesome. All right, good. But you know what that does? I mean, I get what she's saying. You do that, and all of a sudden kids are laughing, and all of a sudden you interact with kids in a way that doesn't like people make people think that you're the weird person that they want to keep their kids away from. You know, well. But then you can have a conversation with parents, that kind of stuff, all right? One or two more. Yes, Sam. Yeah, water night or an outdoor movie night. I mean, that's and, you know, believe it or not, if you want to do an outdoor movie night, we can hook you up with everything to do it. Genesis has projectors and sound, you know, little sound systems, things like that for you to do that sort of stuff. But host a water night or an outdoor movie night. That's good. One more. Yes.
Similar to what you talked about with the wagon, I was sitting there thinking about it during services. To sit in front of your yard for an hour, the same hour, every morning, and just hand out water or dog biscuits to the people walking
by. Yeah.
You know, I mean, sitting there, that to me, you get to know who the people are. They know you're there, going to be there. It may change their path. They may not.
Yeah. See, I'm a deck guy. I'm a person, I like to go hang out my deck. My wife is wonderful. She pushes our whole family into the front yard. And what it does is it creates an atmosphere where as people are walking by, I'm yelling at my dog for barking, but then we're engaging those people. So.
You know, I was going to say, I was at the optometrist on Friday or Thursday, and the lady had moved into her neighborhood, and she moved from South County over. And she was telling me that when she moved there, she says she knows none of her neighbors. And it made me really think about it, because she was sitting there saying, you know, we had that hailstorm, and it was
right.
April 7th, and she was an older woman and was wondering if she had hail damage. And she felt awkward about asking her son to go look at it. But, I mean, there are people out there who just need to be engaged.
Yeah, engage those people. Get to know your neighbors. It's huge. Yes, last one for this part. Invite them over to play. That's a good one, Maya. Invite them to your house. That's, you know, it's amazing. If you're a parent in here, just the idea of making your house where the kids in the neighborhood want to go. Be the mom who's always got cookies when the kids show up and who likes the kids in your backyard. It creates just very natural segues. That's a really good one, Maya. All right, next one is Judea. What does it look like for us to move from that to things like make a difference in justice, our vocation, make a difference in issues of the world? Now, I'll give you one real quick that will bridge the gap. What if you did a canned food drive in your neighborhood? Or a peanut butter drive for Haiti in your neighborhood? Just like make a little flyer and go hand it out to people and say, hey, we're going to be back, you know, 2 days from now. And if you have peanut butter or canned food, we'll collect that. And then that's a way to meet people while at the same time doing something that would be a cause for justice. And you could, you know, care for the people who are hungry and care for needs. Or what if you got involved, like you intentionally got involved in a city organization, like the Eureka Parks Department? What if you volunteered for Eureka Days? Or if you volunteered for things, help them plant. They're always looking for people to plant flowers and trees in the city parks. Or what if you got involved with like the Eureka Sports Association, or you decided to coach a soccer team, or, I mean, just all kinds of things. The Chamber of Commerce, or there's all kinds of organizations, Eureka, that are always looking for people who want to jump in. So what would it look like for you to maybe do that? Or one of the ideas we have for Judea is the broader areas, what would it look like for you to go serve a church plant? And as Genesis, we're planting a church, so maybe one of the things you could put on your calendar is just to get in touch with Weston and the folks from Vibrant Church and say, hey, I have a day to give. What can I come do for you on that day? All right, there's a couple Judea ideas. I have nothing we're hitting here in a minute, but what are some ideas that are like the broader, serving the city, serving people who are broken, serving, you know, caring for the poor and needy, things like that? I'm going to pick up the pace here, do this quickly. A couple ideas, yes. Volunteer at a soup kitchen. Absolutely. Good. What else?
Eureka Pregnancy Resource Center always needs donations, volunteers, event help, everything from involved to really basic.
Right. So the Pregnancy Resource Center is a good one. All right. Let me bridge that. Let me go ahead and take us that direction because we're short on time here and I want to honor your time. So real quick, one of the things that this could be mean is that you choose an issue that is close to your heart, that is a kingdom justice issue, and find an organization that holds that common passion but does it with the gospel as their core purpose. There's all kinds of issues. So if you want to help the poor or care for sex trafficking or help with the slavery issue around the world or build wells or you want to help moms who are dealing with the crisis pregnancy or you want to, I mean, there's just all kinds of issues where you could invest a little bit of your life in an organization to make a real difference. Now, one of those things that we're going to do for the month of June is we're actually going to promote a little bit an organization that's here in St. Louis that we actually have. One of our newer ladies who are hanging out here is actually on staff with an organization called Thrive SDL, and their big ministry is to help moms with a crisis pregnancy just process decisions and hopefully lead them towards choosing to keep the baby, but loving people no matter what with the gospel, okay? And so we're going to start a campaign called a baby bottle campaign. It's real simple. They're out there today. In fact, those of you, I'm going to throw out a name. Mandy Bounds is here. If you've been around for a long time, you need to make sure you go see her. She was part of Genesis for a while, and she's helping us out this morning with that. But the big idea is really simple. You just go take a baby bottle, take it home, and just have your kids start filling the baby bottle with change. And when it's full of change, you bring it back. And we'll raise money to help buy things like units that will help people like this. Check this video out about Thrive. All right, so it's just as simple. Pick up a baby bottle for yourself and each of your kids and try to get it filled and bring it back by the end of the month. And you're part of that, okay? All right, so Judea is kind of these things. Make a difference in justice. What does it look like to live on mission work? Samaria is crossing cultural boundaries. And just real quick, a couple things you might think about doing. I would just challenge all of us to be intentional about occasionally going to places and having conversations with people who are from a different culture. So real quick, the whole Ferguson thing, it was amazing how quickly people from different cultures rallied to themselves and formed their whole opinion around the people who were just like them, rather than intentionally going and finding somebody from a different culture and listening. I would encourage that. I would encourage you to have friendships with African. If you don't have any African-American friends, you should. If you don't have people from a different, if all your friends are white, middle-class folks, there's something like wrong, and there's a richness to life that will come from you intentionally having relationships with people who are different and then teaching your kids to have those relationships. So we could have ideas about that. I need to keep this moving. Ends of the earth is what does it look like for us to be involved with the gospel to the world? Let me just give you three tiers. Pray, give, and go. We're sending teams this summer, and it's too late to jump on those teams, but look maybe beyond that to go into Haiti, going to Ecuador, going to places with us. You might just be involved in that. You can pray for our mission teams. There's also an organization called Operation World that has a different country every single day that you can pray for the missionaries and the needs in that country. And then you can obviously give to organizations that are sending people, all right? And so here's the idea. You got the sheet. You got two pieces of paper. What we hope you will do is you will take those two pieces of paper, merge them, and make sure that some of the things that you do this summer are silver, gold, precious stones. Now, we're getting ready to go to Charleston, and one of the things a lot of us are doing as part of this Living on Mission is going there together. And so we're going to an organization called Shining Light. And this summer, one of the things we will be doing is praying for all of our partners. That's one as we go through the summer, here's one thing you can do if you're part of Genesis. Each week we're going to introduce you to somebody we're partnering with for the cause of the gospel and the cause of mission. And so Jody's going to come talk to us a little bit about that, lead us in prayer for that. And then we're going to have the rest of some of our leaders from Charleston to come up and have a time where we literally commission our Charleston team. And so after Jody prays, we're going to ask everybody to stand, everybody who's going to Charleston to stand, and we're going to have a time where we just get ready to go, all right? So lead us. Slide that microphone this way because it will feed back. Right there.
Awesome. Good morning. Try a little further. Good morning. Okay, that sounds better. So as Mike said, that will be our prayer emphasis. Today we're focusing on Shining Light. This is a outreach in Charleston, Missouri. It's a ministry reaching those living in poverty with the gospel by meeting their spiritual, physical, and emotional needs. They do this through a variety of ministries, including a clothing store, thrift store, a food pantry, tutoring programs, and several children outreach activities. Shining Light is also a church seeking to reach the children and their families in the city of Charleston. Genesis supports Shining Light financially on a monthly basis and with our annual trip today to Charleston as our family mission trip. Join me in praying for this ministry and its leader, Dean Wallace. Jesus, thank you so much for those faithful to the call of the Great Commission, and specifically today we're thanking you for Dean Wallace and those who rally around him to keep this ministry going to these families in Charleston. Lord, we pray for Dean and his family that they would trust and rest in your promise that your word does not return void, that we pray for his health and that you would continue to use him for this gospel purpose. We boldly ask you that you would raise up leaders specifically from that community to come alongside Dean and then to continue your work through the Shining Light Ministries. We pray for all of the outreach they do, the people that those ministries serve. We pray that you would soften those families' hearts for the gospel shared in these ministries, and they would truly see and feel your hands and feet as their needs are met through these ministries. Lord, I lift up the needs of the Shining Light Ministry itself, that you would continue to meet those in amazing ways that exceed expectation, that their vision that they have would be fulfilled in the city they're serving. And Lord, I pray that you would build up their church family and that Shining Light Baptist Church would reach the people with the gospel in their community. Lord, as we go down there today, I pray that we would keep these needs foremost on our mind and be used as you would call us. Amen.
Hey, if you're going to Charleston, we want you to stand right now. We want to recognize who's going, and we literally want to have a time where we set this group apart for the mission that we have. So come on over here, guys. We're going to read a scripture, and then we're going to have a responsive reading together that we all read together, and then we're going to pray together. And so go for it. Lead us in this.
I am going to read Psalm 96. Lord, you have been... Oh, wait, skipped a page. That was 90. Let's go to 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, and sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name, and tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness, and the people in his faithfulness.
All right, at this time we're going to do a responsive reading. The Bible declares that God has commissioned every Christian to make disciples of all nations. We present these people from Genesis before you, O God, as those who have responded to this call and are dedicating themselves now to help fulfill your commission.
We commit ourselves to your service, Lord, in response to your call on our lives.
We, as the congregation of Genesis Church, committed to God's mission in our own community and throughout the world, pledge ourselves to daily specific prayer for this team during their journey.
We will join together in supporting you as you obey the commission of God.
We acknowledge that
we can do nothing without the strength of God, and we pledge ourselves to following his will and commands as we embark on this mission journey.
May the grace, peace, and wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ go with you as you serve.
Use us, O God, for your service.
Amen. Amen.
And then I'm reading Romans 10, 13 through 15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.